see how it comes out before I record it. But let's open our Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. And while you're there, again, listen to the words of this precious old song. When America was founded, she was strong and pure and good, and her leaders on their knees were not ashamed to call on God. But our nation in her pride has turned her back on right, and the clouds of evil threaten to turn glory into night. Strong wickedness has crept in like a cold and bloody thief. Those who know the Lord and do His word stand by in disbelief. For the love of God and country, we must not cease for a day. For the future of our children, we must lift our hearts and pray. Turn the tide, Lord, turn the tide. Open wide the floodgates of your power. Stem the flood of wickedness. Restore, revive, and bless. Turn the tide, Lord, turn the tide. God's enemy is hard at work, undermining every day, breaking down foundations, twisting laws, and setting his evil snares. He would take away our freedom and replace it with despair. And he laughs at those opposing him as if they were not there. But God's children must not set by. We must stand up and defend. For the battle is not over till our King declares the end. We must work and fight and meet Him, not as those that beat the air. For the greatest weapon in our hands is strong and fervent prayer. Turn the tide, Lord, turn the tide. Open wide the floodgates of your power. Stem the flood of wickedness. Restore, revive, and bless. Turn the tide, Lord, turn the tide. Though the waves of immortality may beat upon the shore, and it seems that all ungodliness is knocking at our door, we must never give up hope. We must not let them win the war. We must plead with Him who has the power to cleanse and to restore. Turn the tide, Lord, turn the tide. Open wide the floodgates of your power. Stem the flood of wickedness, restore, revive, and bless. Turn the tide, Lord, turn the tide. Turn the tide, Lord, turn the tide. Open wide the floodgates of your power. Stem the flood of wickedness. Restore, revive, and bless. Turn the tide, Lord, turn the tide. Turn the tide, Lord, turn the tide. praise the Lord. We need to be prayer warriors. And include that again in our prayer for our country, that we could again get things back lined up. Appreciate again that all of us here can be prayer warriors. Appreciate each one being out. It's good to have Dave's... Lynn. And we miss Grandma this morning. Grandma's got a big scar on her nose and didn't want to come up. And you pray for Grandma again as she gets that cleaned up. And she's working on that today. So keep her in your prayers. But she is recovering very well. And we're rejoicing over Grandma's surgery that she had last week. Praise the Lord. So let's go ahead and open our Bibles again, as I said, to the book of Philippians chapter 2, and appreciate that we could look at this theme. If you look with me at verse 14, it says this: I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. And so last week, again, the message is on the back of your bulletin there. We looked at, again, pressing towards that mark. And the first thing, again, the most important thing is to understand that to do that, there's got to be a conversion. You got to be converted from something and converted to something. And so we looked at that, emphasized that last week. Today we want to pick up again Paul's exhortation here as he continues and closes out chapter 3. Pressing toward the mark. I call this Anniversary Sunday, Pressing Toward the Mark, Part 2. And so, again, that's important as we look. You know, we don't, maybe we don't accomplish all the things we'd like here as a church. We don't see all the growth that we'd like. We don't see the impact that we have many times on people's lives. But there is an impact on people's lives out of Good Samaritan Baptist Church. We do know that. And praise the Lord for that. But boy, I encourage you, even it says in the bulletin there, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then again, a key phrase we picked up last week was, don't die till you die. Don't die till you die again. And so we want to just be encouraged to keep on keeping on and doing what we've been doing and just press on. Looking for God to get all the glory. So let's pick that up there in our text. We'll start down in verse 14, read down through the close of this, and then look at some challenge again that we could have on this anniversary Sunday to keep on going to and pressing on that mark. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Philippians chapter 3. Starting there in verse 14, you follow along in your Bible as I read from God's holy word. Brethren, verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even that or this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto ye have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Then a parenthesis here that says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Close parentheses. Look at verse 20. It says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he was able even to subdue all things unto himself. Father, praise you and thank you for your word. Thank you for this challenge that's before us again, Father, that we just keep on keeping on, that we just keep pressing toward this mark that's called out in this chapter. And Father, I pray again that you bless this little church. We thank you for its history. We thank you for folks that have been faithful to you for all these years. Thank you again, Father, for lives that have been changed by this outreach, by folks who love you and have labored for you for all these years here in Dresden. We'll praise you now and thank you for blessing our anniversary Sunday in a special way. Touch each heart. Cause again, Father, that we be faithful to the end. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. As I read the text, there's a whole bunch of things that needs to be said about this pressing toward the mark. Notice again it says, let us therefore be thus minded in the very beginning there. And so that thus minded, what does that mean? That means, again, that we're going to be a mind to press on towards this mark. So we looked last week, again, at verses 8 through 11, looking again at conversion. Thank you. And being converted. But notice again here that the emphasis is that we're converted to something. There's something that we're supposed to be doing in this old world. That I could bring up, boy, just a whole bunch of things here. Peter's Peter was converted. Remember when Jesus warned Peter about the crow, the old rooster that's going to crow? And you remember what Jesus said to him there? I think it's in Luke 22. He's talking to Peter. And he said this. He said, when thou art converted, strengthen those. When thou art converted. And so being converted is certainly what we do when you got saved. I trust everyone here has got a conversion testimony. That you could tell me that there was a day when you were headed to hell and you were converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. After that day, you're headed to heaven. That's the black and white of it. The idea again that there is a day when you got saved. After that day you got saved, there should be a day that you got baptized. If you got saved and if you got baptized as a baby or you got baptized as an unbeliever, you need to be baptized after you get saved, because the Bible again does not teach anything about baptismal regeneration. Religions do. But the Bible don't. Again, there's no sin being washed away in any baptismal waters, whether it's sprinkled, washed, dunked, or dunked again. That does not wash our sins away. Only accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, out of Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, confessing with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead. So I'm trusting again that you've got that conversion and you can give testimony of that, praise the Lord. But again, notice that Peter, he was a believer. He had already accepted the Messiah and believed the Messiah. And Jesus said to him, when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. And so, listen, sometimes in our Christian life, we still need to be converted. We need some changes in our life. And so that conversion, again, is the fact that something happened to me and I changed direction. Some people have a testimony of being saved and converted to Christ and putting their faith in Christ. And then some time later, perhaps even years later, having a time when they rededicate their life to Christ. And that would be a portrayal of another conversion, that again, you recognize you're going the wrong way and you did a turning, not so much for salvation, but for your life. And so again, we need again to be on the right path. I wanted to go through the nine blessed hours, but I didn't leave enough time to do that. There's nine blessed hours in Matthew chapter 5. Three of them have to do with your attitude towards receiving salvation. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn over sin, and blessed are the meek. You're not going to be saved when you're haughty. And so again, those have to do with those characteristics. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst, and blessed are those that are merciful, and blessed are those that are pure in heart. Has to do with the change that God brought into our life. Makes us a new creature. Makes us ambassadors for Christ, it says in 2 Corinthians 5. And then the last three, again, have to do with how we're going to deal in this world. And it's not pretty sight again. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the persecuted. Blessed are the reviled. So there's nine fruits of the Spirit. And they have to do, again, with our growth. Dr. Comer goes through them in the book there, by the way, on living a Spirit-filled life. And they're worthwhile for us to know the nine fruits. Or the nine blessed hours. It's worthwhile to know the nine blessed, or the nine fruits of the Spirit, and have them installed in our life. And so look with me at our text again one more time, back up to verse 8, and notice again that verse 8 begins a sentence. And if you follow down through there, it ends verse 8 with a comma, and then it includes verse 9. Verse 9 ends with a colon, and then it includes verse 10. And then verse 10 closes with a semicolon, and it adds to that sentence again in verse 11, where it does finally close. And so that, again, is what we're talking about here. When Paul says, I want you to be thus minded, that's instruction on how we press toward this mark. And what we're doing is growing and learning and experiencing. Again, all of that's captured in that one sentence that has to do with growing and pressing towards this mark. And so verse 15 that we're at now says, let us be thus minded. And so there's a lot there to be in mind of all that. Then look at verse 15 one more time. Let us therefore, and it has this little clause that says, as many as be perfect. How we doing at our perfection there, okay? As many as be perfect. Back in Matthew 5, right as he gives those nine blessed hours, he says this, but be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, how are you going to be perfect? I know some of you. And you know me again. And so understand that this idea of perfection is not sinless perfection. It's not that we don't sin anymore. Some of you remember a good friend of mine, Brother Bill Calabretta, was pastoring over in Ithaca, and some old snakes come into his church and Kingsway Baptist Church, and they started teaching, undermining and teaching again a sinless perfection, and that again that they don't sin. I've always wanted to find someone that was hooked on this sinless perfection. Perfection, and go kick them hard as I could in the shins and see what response we get out of that. But again, that church split and is dissolved and is gone now. Again, all those that stayed and tried to run that church with sinless perfection found out that you can't run, especially in Ithaca, man. You can't have a church that teaches something that's not in the Bible. So again, we're not talking about that we're perfect without sin. Bible says that we have sin. And if you say if you don't have sin, what's it say about you?
The truth is not in us.
The truth is not in us. In other words, that's a polite way of saying you're a liar, all right? And that's a sin that's in you. And so notice again here that it's not that we have no sin, but we do have a full development. We have grown into a maturity of godliness, and that's what all of us ought to be striving for. That's what all of us are doing. If you rehearse what Paul said, you notice he says that I have not yet attained. I'm not there yet. But I press towards the mark. I'm still headed there. That's where we all need to be again, is headed to that maturity. It also says in 1 Corinthians 5, when it talks about old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new, it talks about me being a minister of reconciliation. No, never mind that. It talks about you being a minister of reconciliation. It talks about you being an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says this, for he was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. And you know what righteousness is? It's you're never wrong. Never wrong. There's a few dads I've met, and I was one of them at one time, that was sure that that was our state. We're never wrong. Who was it? Someone shared with us a sign that was in their house. Rule number one, dad is always right. Rule number two, if dad is wrong, refer to rule number one. And so, again, understand that we are only always right, not in our flesh, but in his righteousness. When we're robed in his righteousness. And so this idea of being perfect has that we have grown to maturity of godliness. And so notice again, it says that as many as be perfect, let us be thus minded. That ought to be our mind, that we're going to press toward this mark. We're going to grow. We're going to strive to be there. And we're going to, again, put the effort in there. So, I'm going to have to skip some of this or we won't get through. I got some good stuff here on Job, on searching himself. Let's just use Psalms 19 because we just read that there, right? So, let's flip back to Psalms 19. Notice what it says here first before we leave here. Verse 15 again. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Remember over there in Psalms 19, those closing verses? It says again that the Word of God is able to make us wise. Someone's got Psalms 19 open. Read that out for us there. So the closing couple verses there starts with, don't be ignorant. Or error. Ignorant or error. I forgot what it was.
Keep back thy servant also from the sons of sin.
Yeah, there you go.
Not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words in my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
All right. And so notice that we're calling there on the Lord that he would point out our error and that he would cleanse us and keep our words right, keep our meditations right on him. And so that's what this is saying right here in this verse, that if you're otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. God shall reveal even this unto you. Psalms 139:23. It don't say exactly this, so let me give you a paraphrase of it. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart today. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from sin and set me free. I missed a line in that song. But anyway, that's the verse that it's saying there. And it's saying, listen, if we're not there yet, we need to have God search us and search our heart. And so again, that ought to be part of our prayer. That's part of our getting there. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men, it says. So we again need to have God search our heart. And if we be otherwise minded, He will reveal that to us. If we don't have the right mind about this pressing towards the mark, He can fix that if we seek Him out on that ground. And so again, we find that search, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. And then Psalms 19 that we looked at there, 12 through 14, again covers the fact that we need God to help fix us and point out. And His Word does that. And our prayer to Him can help in that. God shall reveal even this. Then look at verse 16. It says, nevertheless, nevertheless, whereunto ye have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. So basically he's saying in that verse, it doesn't matter where you're at in your maturity. Doesn't matter where you're starting. If you're a young Christian, out of 2 Peter 1 Peter chapter 2, looking for again the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby, then we need to be growing in God's word. And so notice again that we're to be pressing towards the mark. It doesn't matter where we're starting at. Perhaps we have all different starting points here in this room on our life, but our job is the same, is to press towards that mark, to grow, and to keep pressing, and don't stop pressing. And so, again, we have this, nevertheless, even so, no matter, makes no difference. Whereunto ye have already attained, no matter where you are at, keep pressing towards this mark. Keep going, he's saying here. Then it says, let us walk with the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. And so again, all of us again ought to have that same mindset, that same pressing. Let us press towards the mark. At verse 17 through 19, he talks about those that would steer us away from that. We've already covered that in his opening of this chapter with the Beware series. But here he gives another warning. And notice he gives here again an assurance that, hey, their destruction is sure. And again, don't be tangled in those paths. Don't let them dissuade you from pressing towards the mark. Then look with me at verse 20. It says, for our conversation. Remember our conversation? We looked at that previous again in Philippians when we're looking, what is a conversation anyway? And it's not just our talk. It's our walk. It's our demeanor. It's our attitude. It's being Christian. And being Christian is how we talk. Being Christian is how we walk. Being Christian is how we act. Being Christian is how we react. And sometimes we react poorly to what this world's doing or the things that happen to us or something that cuts you off in traffic. Our reaction ought to be Christ-like. And again, that's what it means to be Christian. A lot of people take on that title. Even some born-again believers take on that title before they're ready for it. And so again, understand that that means that we act like Christ. That we reflect Christ. We are predestined to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to get there eventually. But again, you want to be conformed enough now while you're here, down here. So it ain't such a shock when suddenly we're raptured into His presence and given a glorified body that we again have already been pressing towards that mark. Again, appreciate again this challenge. That is exactly what we need to do. For our conversation is in heaven. Our conversation is in heaven. And then it goes on here that talks again about the fact that where is our hope lying? And I forgot where I heard this, but some preacher mentioned the fact that there might be persecutions in our lives. there might be some hard times coming in our lives. And again, remember that our hope is that we'll be like Christ. That hope, that's our blessed hope. That's when we get there. And to understand that, hey, there'll be no more trials, no more problems. Listen, that's where our hope lies. That's where it is. Just because God's given us some promises about taking care of us, that doesn't mean He's going to get us out of all persecution. That doesn't mean He's going to, again, solve all of our problems here. Sometimes He'll take us through problems just to teach us something, so that we'll learn, so that we'll move closer to Him. But again, all of our troubles aren't going to be over down here. And sometimes we make that our prayer. Lord, get me out of this trouble. Get me away from this. God, make this come to pass as well. And take it away. But listen, God will carry us through the troubles, through the trials. And as He does that, we have a hope. And there it is. Who shall change our vile body, that we may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. And so we need to be pressing toward this mark. Listen, we as a church need to be pressing towards this mark. We sing the song, though none go with me, still I will follow. We need to have that as a song in our church. Though none go with me, it doesn't matter. We're going to do what God says. We're going to follow. Be faithful. We're going to keep doing, again, what God has commanded us. This book that I'm offering here, again, is a tremendous book on worrying or working on our relationship, our fellowship with God. You know, sometimes, especially us Baptists, get so hung up on service and serving God and doing things for God. And we get goal-oriented as far as doing things for God. And we lose track of the fact that, hey, God wants our fellowship. God wants to just fellowship with us and to walk with us in the cool of the day and to have a kinship with us and a fellowship with us where we call Him Father. And again, keep that in mind, again, because sometimes goal-oriented, I know in my own life, in the military, we was all goal-oriented, and we had these goals, and we had to finish the goals, and sometimes that don't work out in our Christian life. Make sure, again, that we have a kinship, a fellowship with God, and keep that, again, foremost as far as our pressing towards the mark. And God will take care of the fruit. God will take care of what needs to be done. And we need to just keep pressing towards that mark of the high calling of God. And then the list that's given there of what that is important for us, again, even as a church, to keep that in mind. Well, here we are, 31 years. And appreciate again that we can celebrate that. The Rices have been here for 25 years. This year, again, right now we came in September of 97. And so just appreciate again that we could be here and be part of this great church and this outreach and this ability again to just preach the gospel. I've been preaching the gospel in Yates County for, 27 years? And I asked the Lord to give me 30. So I don't think He's going to. I think the Lord's going to be here before we get to October of next year again. So put that down. I'll set a date again that before October of next year, before we do another Hunt for the Last October Bible Prophecy Conference, next year, 2023, I think that's going to be it again. So I look at the prophecy. I look at, again, the things that's got to be fulfilled. I look at God's time frame. And I know we're closer. Dr. DeHaan, who I always love to hear, he said the Lord is coming, and it's got to be within 50 years of 1948 when Israel was made a nation again. And so Dr. DeHaan, he timed it all out and said He's going to come in my lifetime. Well, Dr. DeHaan went to be with the Lord, and the Lord is still, as we say, tarrying, but the Lord's not going to tarry again when He's ready to come. He'll be here. And I believe, again, it's soon and very soon. And so, rejoice again in our anniversary and in this church. its testimony, its witness. And let's go ahead and be about the Father's business in our individual lives. Let's be pressing toward that mark. Father, praise you. Thank you for the day. Thank you again that we could celebrate this anniversary point. Thank you again, Father, that we could step out and step on, Father, pressing towards a mark. And to do that as a church and do that again individually in our own lives. Help us to edify, encourage, and strengthen one another in that walk. And Father, that you'll touch this church and we'll praise you again and thank you. We know again that our world's getting vile. So we'd ask that you turn the tide and ask, Father, again that you'd hear our prayer to cause again that you could restore, revive, and Father, that you set some hearts on fire again, even for your word. And we'll praise you and thank you for hearing our prayers. Hear our prayers for those among us, Father, as we pray one for another. And Father, touch this church with your hand, and we'll give you all the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray it. Amen, amen. Just before we close with a little chorus, let me say that there is going to be a picnic today. Anybody know what time that starts at? 5?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock, okay. Over at the arcade, if you'd like to go and fellowship at Johnny's Arcade over there. They'll be having a picnic over there. And then fellowship until midnight or something. I don't know how late they're going, but we had some obligations and be taking off, what, about 7 o'clock, I think, to head on up there. So we'll be a little late. But again, appreciate again the opportunity to go up and fellowship there at the arcade. Remember when we burnt the mortgage here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church? We went out and defied the city's or village's fire order and started a fire in the backyard. And they didn't send the fire department like they said they were going to, but we burned the mortgage here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Johnny held that mortgage. John Petras held that mortgage, and he was here for that. And he was here for a couple of our anniversary Sundays as well. And so up at the arcade, if you get a chance to go on up there this afternoon and rejoice and have some fellowship there, take advantage of that opportunity. Anyone else got any other announcements or things that we need to mention on anniversary Sunday? I have one more. We'll be back next week, okay? Next Sunday, we'll be here to worship. Let's stand and sing my favorite song this month anyway. Christ for me. Yes, it's Christ for me. He's my Savior, my Lord and King. I'm so happy, I shout and sing. Christ for me. Yes, it's Christ for me. Every day as I go my way, it is Christ for me. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you. Let's go to the kitchen. Yes.
You know when I told you about praying for Justin?
Uh-huh.
I talked to Justin, and back, way back, when he was a child, he came to a church here. And Justin said, I think it was here. And he was so excited.
Is that right?
Yes.
All right.
I was so surprised. I asked him about it. The first child, you know, came here. And I think Justin was almost sure that Justin was with her.
Oh,
you know, during the summer, it was a summer thing. Yeah, because I talked to Justin about it.
All right.
Isn't that something?
Curious.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I'd tell you about it.
All right. Yeah,
that's unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Yeah,
yeah.
What a blessing. Nice. Pretty sure it was here, not positive. Pretty sure.
Well, we're pretty easy to date here on our 31st anniversary, so
right,
we got here and started in 91.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. And I see about one of